From the Schmoes No Network Studios in Los Angeles, California, this is the Jedi Alliance with your hosts, Ken Napsok and Maude Garrett.
Wowee.
Hello, Schmoville. Welcome to the Jedi Alliance on the Schmoes No Network. I am Ken Napsok.
I am Maude Garrett, but I think I'd like to be known as the young Padawan from now on, now that we're doing the Jedi Alliance.
You are my Padawan learner?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, or you're my Padawan learner?
Yes, therefore that makes you my master, Ken Obi.
I like delicious Star Wars name puns, and we're off and running on the show that is going to be a celebration of the greatest saga ever told, Star Wars.
That's it. We love Star Wars. We've been big fans for a very, very long time, so what better way to express our love than talk about it for an hour.
Yeah, or so. They might have to pull the plugs and yank us out of the studios once we get going about Star Wars. And we are dedicated, passionate fans of the entire universe. That might mean prequel talk comes up. We don't know that, but we love the original trilogies, the expanded universe, the games, the video games, the comic books, the books. There's so much there to celebrate.
There is a lot. And you know what? I do not claim to be an expert. I'm an enthusiast. I love this. And anything that I don't know, I'm actually really excited to learn about.
That's why we have copies of the Star Wars Encyclopedia here, ready to go.
This is homework.
Yeah, it's great. And we're going to have guests on the show from time to time, but today we felt, we wanted to get to know each other and have our fans get to know us as Star Wars fans.
And what better way to do that than to ask each other 5 Star Wars related questions.
These are questions we're going to ask our guests every week, but this week we get to interview each other.
And we do have a Facebook page. Just search The Jedi Alliance on the Schmoes Network, and you can answer the 5 questions as well. Get involved.
Yeah, that's right. It's on Facebook. Already 500 members and growing.
And we love you.
I think it has more to do with the picture of me as a 9-year-old.
You are the cutest little kid. You are so cute.
That is a original iron-on decal, Emperor, Vader, Luke, Return of the Jedi shirt.
Oh,
I'm so proud of that. So proud of that. But join us there. And also you can hashtag Jedi Alliance and join the conversation on Twitter and follow us at Ken Napsok.
At Maude Garrett.
And have a lot of fun with us talking Star Wars. So let's dive right in, Maude, and get to my young Padawan.
Thank you.
Oh, so sorry.
That's how I will be addressed.
We're going to ask these 5 questions of our guests every week, but here's what we're going to do this week. So I want to know, tell me about your first time.
Well,
seeing Star Wars, actually.
Yeah. Okay. Ooh, thanks for clarifying. Mm-hmm. The first time I saw Star Wars, I would have been about 8 years old. And so this is, 1994?
Oh, wow.
And I was sick as a dog. And I have very, very hardworking parents. They were full-time workers. And my mom's looking at this sick child, and she's like, I don't know what to do. So she ducked off to the video store and got 3 VHSs to hire. And she came back and she's like, right, this is what you're going to do. You're going to put on A New Hope. And then once that's finished, you're going to watch The Empire Strikes Back. And then as soon as that's finished, watch Return of the Jedi. And I'll see you in 7.5 hours. And, you know, all that time later, I remember she came home. She's like, how are you feeling? And I just went, I want an Ewok so bad.
You actually wanted a pet Ewok?
Yes.
Not a plush Ewok?
No, I want the real deal.
You wanted to raise...
Yeah, Chihuahua.
You wanted to raise Wicket in your backyard?
Yeah. Or Paploo.
Yeah, or Chief Chirpa. Or Low Gray.
What about you? Same question.
Wait, hold on. Before we get to me, I want to know, is this acceptable that parents would just drop their kids off at home with like 3 VHS tapes?
I actually think that having Star Wars as a babysitter is probably the smartest thing that my parents ever did.
I think your mom should be heralded as a forward-thinking parent then.
Mm.
Because look what it did. It turns you into this uber fan enthusiast.
That's the one.
Good on you, Mom.
First time.
For me?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I saw the movies out of order.
Oi!
The first one I actually saw was Return of the Jedi. So I was having a slumber party in the, this would be the spring of 1983 at my friend John Key's house in my hometown.
I don't even know if I was spermed then.
No, you probably weren't. Mm. You weren't formed on any level. And we were having a slumber party, and one of my friends was like, oh, look, it's on. And a trailer for Return of the Jedi came on.
Mm.
Now, back in the day, of course, trailers, they're not as smooth, weren't as smooth as they are now, that are these big productions. And
explosion,
music.
Explosion.
Yeah, and ooga-chugga, all that kind of stuff. It was kind of like a guy like, hey, kids, in the living room, you remember that movie you watched last year, Empire Strikes Back?
Yeah!
This is the next one. Here's some scenes. Enjoy it. And of all the images, Luke with his lightsaber, some spaceships exploding, the thing I remember more than anything is Max Rebo from the Max Rebo Band sitting there pounding on the keyboards. And I was like, I got to see this movie. So parents took me up San Luis Obispo, the Fremont Theater, a big classic old style theater. Saw it there, and it was into the universe. But of course, seeing Jedi first, I had all these questions that my mom and dad didn't really have the answers to. you know, who's so-and-so, how that, and how did this die, and where did that ship come from, and, you know, who's that squid guy who yelled it's a trap, who is this stuff. So then I got into the universe back. I watched New Hope next, mm-hmm. and the last one I watched was Empire.
And is that your favorite film?
It is now. But right. back then as a kid, Jedi.
Jedi, still for me. Still I don't know. For you. Maybe it's like just like the conclusion and everything ends on such a wonderful note. But that was the first movie that I saw in the cinema as well. I was 11 and they had digitally remastered all of the movies and they were re-releasing them in the cinema.
Yeah.
And at 11, I remember like where I was doing like the big group date where we went to movies with boys and they were like, what movie should we watch? And I was like, guys, we have to see Star Wars, Return of the Jedi. And they're like, what is it? And I was like,
Quiet kids.
You'll know. You'll know. And then afterwards, they were like, that was the weirdest thing I've ever seen. And I was like, that is the best movie.
And your life of social awkwardness began yes. with the remastered editions of Star Wars. That's great. Yeah, I remember that campaign. That was the see it again for the first time.
And I did. That was my first time.
That's awesome. So let me ask you this then. Who mm-hmm. is your favorite character in the Star Wars universe?
That's a tough one. Mm. I really, really like Chewbacca.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. I just think he's so great. He's such an asset. You know, he's so good with the bowcaster. And the... Have you know, he's kind of like... He's kind of like the... You know, if we were to modernize it, he's the Groot. So he actually doesn't really say anything. That's true. You can't understand him. And then Han is kind of like... What'd you say?
So you wanted to raise an Ewok, and your favorite character is Chewbacca. You must be some kind of obsessive dog person.
I'm not the crazy cat person. I am the crazy dog person. There's something going on there.
I like that choice.
I like R2-D2 too, though. He's my favorite droid by far.
I like that. Again, we had a lot of conversation over this past year about females in Star Wars. So growing up, there's not a lot of females to choose. So I love that you were like, hey, Chewie, I'm not worried about gender. I like that Wookiee thing.
Chewie could have been a girl underneath it all.
We don't know. Scientifically, I don't think. All right, cool. I like that answer.
Favorite character for you?
You know what? I could easily go with some obtuse side character like Moff Jar Jarrar, the guy who ran the Death Star in Return of the Jedi, who in the novel version had a great quote that I live my life by, which is, great men never hurry. Great men cause others to hurry. Moff Jar Jarrar in the Jedi novel. But I can't not answer Han Solo.
It's because you're a dude. You're a scoundrel.
I am. For me, seeing him, when I saw Empire, and I was still too young to comprehend it, but I saw him when he spoke to Princess Leia, and she goes, I like nice men, and he goes, I'm nice men. That, I was like, I want to be that guy. I've never succeeded 30 years later in being that guy, but...
Why don't you just start wearing like a linen shirt with a vest over it?
Oh, I might do that.
Seriously.
I'm gonna do that when I leave today.
just from now on.
Just look around.
And every time someone's like, oh my God, you look like, you know, Han Solo. You're like, it's slowly happening.
Just some stripes down the side of my pants. It'd be great.
Well, the next question I'm going to throw over to you.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously there are a lot of force powers in the Jedi universe. What is your favorite? And you can go to the dark side if you prefer a little bit of electric action.
Force powers.
Shock.
So there's a lot to choose from. And in the video games, you learn a lot more about the Force
Certainly
powers
do.
And Force Unleashed. But I'm going to have to say the one I always wanted as a kid, and now if I had it, it would improve my sex life, is choking, the Force choke.
Right.
What better way? I was kind of a nerdy, picked-on kid in school, probably because I dreamed about Force powers. But I always wanted, if I could be across the classroom and choke Danny over there, little Danny who picked on me, just that's what I wanted to do.
So you basically are the dark side.
I guess early on, it was picked for me. I went young. Are you? Force power?
I actually love talking about like superpowers, especially when X-Men always kind of resurfaces. Mm-hmm. And it's like, what's your favorite superpower? And I was like, flying. No, it's a Jedi mind power. Are you kidding me? It's like the art of manipulation.
That's
it's
what
perfect.
You wanted.
That's it. I want to tell people what to do, and they do it.
So when you first saw, when did you really see it in action and fall in love with it then? Was it Obi-Wan or was it Jedi? Did some Vader doing Jedi?
Oh, it was totally, these are not the droids you're looking for.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, sorry, move along. I was just like, I love that. But then I kind of saw a little bit of a snippet of that particular power in Heroes. And she was one of the bad girls. And she was like, you're going to drive away and get a donut and eat it. And he goes and does that. And I'm like, that is the best power. And I started thinking about it over and over again, where and how I would use it.
What is the number one way to use that Force power?
Oh, gosh. I want first class on airplanes. I want to get access to everywhere. You will pay for this. Anything that you want. The only problem is I would use it for all the bad things.
Right. So
therefore,
again,
that would make me...
You're going to the dark side. I think that's the way people want to go.
In the dark
There's,
side.
In one of the great things about Star Wars, of course, is that it's such a... You can delve into that world and kind of live in it and then take it into your normal life. So the Star Wars quotes, there's so many of them.
Yes, there are.
Can I ask you, what is your favorite Star Wars quote and how do you... put it into real life?
I think it's the little quick quips from the original trilogy that you can just seamlessly slide into conversation.
So you don't quote Watto all the time?
His mother. No.
What, are you some kind of a Jedi?
Even though I love that. No, I think the two that kind of I just seem to drop all the time, every time I don't believe something, that's impossible! You have to spit it out like you're hanging from one arm.
I like to see you use that in a real serious argument with like a boyfriend or husband at some point.
It's impossible! And the other one is, you know, if every time you put on a phone or you reboot something and it starts to power on, you're like, oh, wow, my phone is fully operational.
Sounds like the Emperor's having a stroke.
It's just the way it flows off the tongue. Fully operational.
Armed and operational battle station. Fire at will, Commander.
Rebel scum. Yours.
Yeah, for me, you know what? There's a lot that I get into regular life. I got a bad feeling about this.
I got a bad feeling about this.
What's that flashing? For some reason, I do that a lot.
What's that flashing? Okay, I'm just going to...
I can't shake them is one of the ones I do. I can't shake them.
Nice.
Like people, and it just pops up in places I throw it in. No one understands it. Even Star Wars fans are like, dude, totally out of context. But I just keep on moving. Mm-hmm. Just like I'm just like Biggs flying towards the Death Star.
Never
towards
tell me
his
the odds.
Right. Yeah, that's another good one too.
Great one.
Yeah, there's so many of them, but that's the one I find, for some reason, I find myself using, I can't shake them, more than any other aspect, any other quote.
How often
life.
Are you being followed? You have a series of stalkers. I can't shake him.
After this show, maybe I'll have a problem.
Alrighty, next question. This is the last one. We've kind of dabbled in this a little bit, but I need the actual clear answer from you.
Okay.
Would you ever turn to the dark side?
Well, the dark side of the Force is full of powers that are deemed unnatural. So yes, absolutely.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You would do it?
I would totally go to the dark side. Look,
You've already killed little David.
Killed Danny from across the room. I've used the Force powers to get dates. Yeah, why not go to the dark side? This is what I do. Like, I'm such just a nice, boring dude in real life. So I'd I love capes. I'd love to have an excuse to wear a cape. I don't see a lot
Imperial,
of good guys.
The Imperial Force music just every single time. Yeah. Imperial March, everywhere, every time you enter a room, that came on.
Exactly. Could you imagine that if you come fashionably late to dinner and you've got a cape and that theme playing?
Dun, 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 dun,
I'm joining my party in the bar. Dun, dun. Like, that's what I'd want to do. So absolutely, without hesitation, I would go to the dark side of Force. In fact, when I play games where I'm given a moral choice,
yes,
I always end up going towards the bad side.
Really? I cannot.
Mm-hmm.
I do not. Mm-hmm. It's like, would you like to kill an innocent person? No.
You can't do it.
I can't do it. I've tried to be bad, but... being bad does not feel good to me.
That's a good thing.
I don't feel like I'm rewarded. I feel like everyone judges me in my team. They're like, you really want to do the bad thing? And it's like, oh, nope.
I think you could be
too
a very powerful dark Jedi, though. I think you could.
No.
I mean, we're here in the Jedi Alliance, and we talk about Jedis, but I think you could be a pretty good Sith.
I don't know. I don't think I'm Force sensitive.
So you know what I'm doing? I'm already trying to convert you to the dark side of the Force.
I won't give in to my anger.
All right. Mm. So we have the good, we have the dark. That's how we're going to roll here on the Jedi
balance.
Alliance. Hashtag Jedi Alliance and tell us what you would do with your favorite Force power.
Mm.
Or when's the first time you saw the movie? Go to our Facebook page and tell us there too. Share your thoughts with us. We want to know you, the Star Wars fan.
All 5 questions.
Yeah, we're going to put it up there and we're going to have you answer it. These 5 questions and have fun with it. And of course, like I said, hashtag Jedi Alliance on Twitter and join us at Ken Napsok and at Mark Garrett and keep that conversation going with us. So next up, every week, we're going to be talking about This Week in Star Wars News. It's a segment called Renewed Hope, This Week in Star Wars News with Queen Amidala.
Did you see what he did there? Amidala. Amidala, that's my name, inside Queen Amidala. So clever.
Tasty word puns.
But I have voiced a video game and they were like, can you just sound a little bit like you're in charge, but you know, you're quite reserved. And I ended up doing Queen Amidala's voice. So.
Well,
I'm preparing everyone for a bout of awesome that's going to happen because Queen Amidala will be addressing the people with the news headlines. Are we ready?
We're ready.
Three new comics have been announced that will take place between A New Hope and The Empire Strikes Back, and will explore the aftermath of the Death Star's destruction for both the Rebel Alliance and the Galactic Empire. Have you heard about these?
I absolutely have heard about this. Of course, Dark Horse has had the Star Wars comic book license for quite some time.
And no more. That's finishing up.
Done. Marvel, Disney, I should say, buys Lucasfilm. It was kind of anticipated that this would happen. So Marvel gets the license. Am I excited for these comics? Yes. Am I sad to see the Dark Horse stuff go? Absolutely. Brian Wood had a great series about a year and a half ago that started. It's about 20 issues in. It's coming to an end. And it takes place during that time frame.
Right.
After New Hope, before Empire, it gets into a lot of stuff about the rebels searching for the base that eventually would be discovered by Vader and everyone on Hoth. Mm-hmm. It gets into a great side story with Vader going off on his own mission that the Emperor didn't even know about.
He took a little chicky bag.
He took a little Imperial, a female Imperial officer who told the story. It was a 2 or 3 issue arc. It was great stuff. Mm. Not everything was perfect in it. They had this weird side story with Princess Leia marrying some weird prince to get access to a base, and he turned bad, all this stuff. So I'm sad to see that go.
Because it's all void now?
Yeah.
Right, and this is new canon.
Lucasfilm, Disney, the whole canon debate of them changing everything or clearing some of the decks, so to speak, and I think that's good. I think some things from canon needed to go, or that we considered canon as fans from the expanded universe, but some things I think were great. Good and bad, we'll take it. I'm excited to see what Marvel can do with their own stories, though.
Already, well, what do you think of the artwork? Because we've seen 3 pictures mm-hmm. that have been sent in or distributed about this. What do you think the look of it is all about?
I think it looks very good. Okay. I think you have to have a comic book touch to it.
Yes.
And I think they've done that, but it still maintains the essence and image that we know and love from our main characters.
Well, it will be released January 2015. The publishers will release the first in a series of hardcover collections, and they've been created by high-profile creators including Jason Aaron, Kieran Gillen, and John Cassaday. It was announced at Comic-Con, and we will be touching more about Comic-Con news that was spread out. That's one. It's the tip of the iceberg for that. Harrison Ford was spotted walking around cast free and without crutches. Thanks, Armor Dalla. He's obviously recovering at a really fast pace. Yeah.
Are you excited to see this?
Well, 6 weeks ago, we thought that this was kind of over, and I feel really bad for the guy because you're like, he's Han Solo. He's indestructible.
Right.
No. All he needs is like some sort of, what was it, like a propulsing
chair? Where maybe put him in a chair or something like that?
The hydraulic door from his Millennium Falcon crushed his leg.
And I'll tell you, I'm excited to see it. I was never overly concerned when the injury happened. Yeah, it could have been catastrophic because it's a shattered ankle on a 71-year-old man. But I had faith in Harrison Ford. And I know they're going to shut down production for a couple weeks.
They are.
Give him even more time to recover. So it's great. To me, it seems like it's on schedule. You get him in some of those shots where he's just sitting down, barking orders.
Well, they've done all of that.
They filmed
everything that they can. And I think different sites are reporting 2 weeks or 3 weeks that they're having time off. But I know that they are doing different location shoots now. But yeah, production has paused on this. And one site was speculating, it's going to cost them millions of dollars. Calm down.
Not so much. So that's great news. It's Harrison Ford, man. He probably has some magic healing powers that we're not aware of. He probably had the grail from
He's
that other.
He's got a bionic foot. Yeah.
The penitent man shall pass. And he like poured it over his ankle and he's back. So I'm excited. Excited to see there's going to be no delay in episode 7. We're going to get it December.
No, it hasn't changed the release date at all. Steam ahead.
I got my place in line on the sidewalk. Staked out if you want to join in a tent.
Can't wait.
Maybe we'll do a broadcast from the tent.
Waiting in line.
Final story.
Mark Hamill continues to rock the Jedi beard and tweets about new filming location in Ireland. Have you seen the beard?
I love
he looks
the Mark
great.
Hamill beard.
God, he looks good.
This came out in Comic-Con. Did you see it at Comic-Con first?
Yes, I did.
And it was kind of like little whispers. Have you seen Mark's beard? Have you seen Mark's beard?
Everyone's saying how much he looks like a Jedi master now.
This, more than any other leaks or scoops or speculation, for whatever reason, it's the nerd in me, Mark's beard is the most I've been excited for episode 7.
Isn't it funny? Well, it is. He's like completely gray. He's like transforming into Alec Guinness in front of our eyes, you know? Well, he has been busy filming because he's just tweeted about shooting in a remote part of Ireland.
The island of Ireland.
It's called Skellig Michael, and pictures have emerged, of course, all over Twitter. Nothing goes under Twitter, honestly. If you look up the Star Wars collection sites, it's just a series of tweets. And it could be something from Mark, which was, wow, Ireland was lovely. So they're like, right, Ireland, cool.
He's filming.
Look at the location. Where could it be? What is it?
You got to imagine all that stuff gets pre-approved or looked at some point by JJ, you'd think. So you can't.
Well, after hearing Kevin Smith's like tight right. Confidentiality agreements, yeah. I don't think anything's getting leaked. Yeah. That shouldn't
but
be.
But it's exciting, though, because when we all first heard about episode 7 starting, or that it was going to come about, and once they confirmed the originals were coming back, we all kind of wanted Mark to be the grizzled old Jedi in the cave. And now I think we're getting exactly what we as the fans wanted.
Yes.
That beard is epic.
Yeah.
It's a man beard. That's a Jedi beard.
So there will be renewed hope, more Star Wars news next week.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a good place to talk about all the current news.
Star Wars!
Oh, no.
Excuse me, I'm getting really excited. So, Star Wars, guys. This is something that I just thought was a really great idea because I own something called Star Wars Trivial Pursuit. Mm-hmm. And the best part about that are the list of questions. So what we are doing, put it right there, is I get one Star Paws and you get one as well. And we can call it out randomly at any time throughout the podcast only.
Okay.
One apiece.
Oh, so I can't like show up to your house at midnight and be like, Star Paws, answer my questions.
That would be very, very creepy.
Okay.
But
gotcha.
When I call Star Paws, you have to collect a card and I will read you the questions on the card. And the tally will then begin. So however many questions you get right will go up on a board and then vice versa. So throughout the course of our force, someone will be reigning champion over trivia. Are
okay.
you ready?
I'm ready.
Select a card.
I'm going first. I can just pick from anywhere?
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to pick that and
are you ready?
You're not going to get me here. Okay.
Go Who did it. Darth Vader say should not have come back?
Oh, no.
And a lot of these questions are...
Obi-Wan Kenobi.
I knew that.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
Tally.
Can
we tally that one?
One for me.
Is someone writing a tally?
Okay.
Number two.
Yeah.
What did X-Wing pilots switch power to after entering the Death Star's trench? I'll read that again if you want.
Yeah.
What Y-Wing pilots switched power to after entering the Death Star's trench?
Put power to your rear deflector shields.
Front deflectors.
Front deflectors?
Oh, no.
It's that tower. You worry about that tower. Oh, no. I got it. Sorry. Oh, I got it wrong. All right. I'll take that.
Who was the commander of the first Death Star?
The first Death Star? The commander of it?
Mm-hmm. I would not get this.
Wow. Well, I know in Jedi it was Moff Jared Gerard. So is it Grand Moff Willif Tarkin?
Yes!
Yeah, all right. Put it down.
Oh, my goodness.
Two out of three.
What creatures revere a tribal medicine man named Logre?
Oh, the Ewoks.
Yes. And last one.
Yeah.
What did the cantina bartender yell out when one of the cantina patrons drew a weapon?
No blasters. No blasters.
Yes. Four of five.
Four of five.
That's fantastic.
Okay. So we'll come back. So what you're saying is I get to call Star Paws at any other point later in the show and I get to test your knowledge.
And what I'm also saying is I'm incredibly masochistic because I'm obviously going to get burnt alive.
Mm.
Yay, young Padawan.
Okay, Padawan, you got it. You got it. All right, now I'll take 4 out of 5. I was close, 4.5 out of 5, but I'll go down to the 4. Those Y-Wings, because they had to worry about... All right, I won't argue it. I won't argue the card. Next up is going to be one of our favorite segments that is going to be the anchor of every show. It is called Duel of the Fates. And you know, Star Wars fans, we love to talk amongst ourselves. We love to debate things. We love to get into arguments on how to pronounce certain words.
It's an AT-AT.
It is clearly an AT-AT.
It's an AT-AT.
Okay. Well, we are clearly
that will
raised.
Never, ever stop.
It will never stop. But that's not today's debate. We are going to have a classic debate. The Duel of the Fates topic is X-Wing versus TIE Fighter. This is the classic TIE Fighter, not the TIE Interceptor I have displayed in front of me, which came on later.
Here's one we just happened to prepare earlier.
Yeah, I was building that in the alley out before the show.
So we're going to pitch both of our sides, but you are playing at home. This will be up as a poll on our Facebook page. Just search the Jedi Alliance on the Schmoes No Network. We'd love to hear your thoughts on this as well, and we'll plead the sides.
Yeah, absolutely. So would you like to go first, or would you like me to go first?
Sure thing. Look, the X-Wing is a great... Mm-hmm. Great kind of, you know, weapon-inducing transport. Like, it does the job. It's saved the day many a times.
Okay.
I love TIE Fighters. I love TIE Fighters. I don't, okay.
Twin ion engine fighters, right? Mm. Okay. So why do you love the TIE fighter? Sell me.
For a very I could tell you that it's the fact that the maneuverability in it is so much better. And had you not had a clone stormtrooper, which are clearly not pilots, flying it, then it would be actually it's the superior vessel. That, okay. It's just great. And like, yeah, we saw that get chewed up in an asteroid field. But I love it so much. It's the noise that it makes that really, this is why I love it so much. Mm-hmm. So my family, I mean, obviously I don't live at home and I rarely get to see them, but when I do.
You're from Detroit, right?
Sure. We actually one Christmas spent the entire day trying to perfect the noise of the TIE fighter. And I can safely tell you that I have nailed it now. Are
hold
we
on.
Ready?
Hold on. I'm trying to picture family Garrett on Boxing Day. What do you call it? Christmas out there?
Boxing Day. Yeah, it could have been Boxing Day.
Could have been. I mean, it's a perfect chance for your country to name its own holiday and have owned something. All right. So you're out there Christmas, Boxing Day, holidays.
Yeah. Yep.
Family Garrett is practicing.
It's kind of.
That's not.
It's good. It goes over. So now it's definitely high pitched and it's more of like in the back of your throat.
How many people are in your family?
Five of us.
So the five of you sitting around a table drinking rum and eggnog.
Yeah.
Doing that for how long?
About 7 hours.
7 hours for TIE fighter problems. Sounds.
Is that close? The Star Destroyer is a lot different.
I just sounded like a giraffe got shot and fell off a cliff.
It actually evolved into trying to do a Tyrannosaurus Rex noise, but that's a different conversation.
I now see where you get it. Yeah. I now know where those Maude Garrett sounds come from.
But the TIE fighter also, because it's not just a TIE fighter, like you've got the TIE bomber. Yeah. You know, but it's small. It's definitely a one-man machine.
We're talking classic TIE fighter here. So if you start sneaking in TIE bomber into your debate, okay. I'm calling foul.
Okay. And I also remember playing on, I think it was when Windows first kind of came about. Mm-hmm. There was a great, like by LucasArts, the TIE fighter game.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I would play that as well.
I lost an entire summer during college to that game. It's why I had to get into radio, because I didn't finish college.
Great game, and I have an affinity with TIE fighters.
Okay, mm-hmm. I will accept that. Mm-hmm. I will accept that. But I'm going to counter with three basic arguments why the classic X-Wing is better than the TIE fighter.
Here we go.
All right, number one is its sleek, elegant design. I think the TIE fighter is kind of clumsy. It looks like a bow tie. We get
that
it, Joe
sexy.
Johnston. Bow ties are sexy? So
yes,
you're basing this on sex appeal. Well, there's nothing sexier than that sleek, elegant design of the X-Wing, especially before the S-foils are locked into attack position. And then, even better, it opens up into that. There's nothing sexier than the letter X.
I'll
so
give you that now.
When you're flying through space, and there's that beautiful X, a whole squadron of them, I'll just like the look. And it's got better armaments, and it's got hyperdrive capability, something the TIE fighter doesn't have.
No, but TIE fighters have numbers, strength in numbers.
They do, okay.
There's a lot of them, like a swarm effect.
The swarm. There's too many of them.
Yes.
Okay. All right. I can maybe point to that, but you put that
No one sweats when an X-Wing comes out. They're not like, oh, God, there's an X-Wing. We're all going to die.
Really?
But when the TIE fighters come out, it's like, oh, dear.
But here's, see, the X-Wing, it's got that hyperdrive capability. You put that astromech droid in the back, and you can strike. The rebels can, they pop, they strike, they leave. TIE fighters, you have to wait for that Imperial Star Destroyer to come by with a whole fleet of them. But I never get lonely. You know, that's true.
How lonely did Luke get having to talk to R2 in the back there?
Pretty lonely.
There you go.
The final point for me is it is the workhorse of the rebellion, and this is the ship that took down the Death Star. Luke Skywalker, this is Luke's ship. How can you not like Luke's ship? I will read you a quote from General Carlos Rycan. You might remember him as the guy that Han Solo told in Empire. I have to go, General. Rycan said, the INCOM T-65 X-Wing is the fighter that killed the Death Star. An almost perfect balance of speed, maneuverability, and defensive shielding make it the fighter of choice for Rogue Squadron in the Rebellion. You can't go against General Rycan. That's my point.
Well, that's our pleas and what we think is the case. We have different, obviously, winners in our opinion. But what's your opinion? We'd love to hear your thoughts on the Facebook page, on the Jedi Alliance, on the Spurs Network. There is a poll there. You can either click and vote, or you can add your thoughts to it as well.
And don't forget that hashtag, hashtag Jedi Alliance, and tell us what you think, or I should rephrase that, tell me why you think I'm right that the X-Wing is better than the TIE Fighter. I want to go to your family Christmases now. Can we just practice Star Wars sounds or Star Wars voices?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Are you kidding me? That's my idea of heaven. Maybe that'll be like the whole next show. It's just us doing sound effects.
Hey, coming up next, in the fall, coming up here in October, I believe, Disney XD is releasing their wonderful new show, Rebels.
Yes.
I'm excited for Rebels.
I'm incredibly excited
love
for Rebels.
Love the clips. You've seen some of the clips, obviously, right?
I have as well, yes.
What do you feel about those clips?
Well, I love where it's set in between, because I know that Clone Wars was in between episode 2 and 3. So the biggest gap that we've seen in all the movies is between 3 and 4. So this is where we're really kind of seeing the desolation. You know, Order 66 has been taken out. The Jedi's are few and far between. People want to kind of like hide who they are instead of fighting back because the numbers are so uneven. So I'm really, I'm excited about that. But I think for me, I loved that there were announcements at Comic-Con, since there weren't many at all. I was able to chat with the cast, the voice cast of Star Wars Rebels. And, you know, in true form, this is our first show. And in the show, we ask each other, when was our first time? Well, that's the exact question that I asked the cast. Let's take a look.
When was the first time you watched Star Wars? Can you remember where and how?
Definitely. I was in Boulder, Colorado with my cousins. My aunt took us, and it changed my life. Yeah, the moment I saw Leia say, "Get this walking carpet out of my way," I said, "That is exactly who I want to emulate. I want her hair, and I want her moxie. Done."
In my house, I think. For some people, I feel like that's an imprint on their life. Like, they know exactly when they saw it. I saw A New Hope when I was younger. My parents either rented the DVD or had it, and we went and watched it.
Okay.
Yeah, I was like, very cool, and then I went to a soccer game.
Can you remember the first time you sat down and watched Star Wars?
Like, the time? Probably not. No, but...
I won't stop.
I grew up on Star Wars, like, on the original ones. Like, we said, "May the Force be with you," as much as we said, "What up?" I mean, that was just a way of life.
I loved the movies because they were... As a kid, it's your jaw drops seeing all that... everything in space is so cool, but and then I saw 5 and 6, but I hadn't seen 1, 2, and 3. So after I got the show, I was like, I need to go catch up. And yeah,
and here we are. I remember watching the original trilogy as a young kid, and I knew at the time, like, this is a big deal, but I think I might have been too young to really like fully appreciate it for what it is. So then after I got this job, I wanted to, you know, soak up as much Star Wars as I could. So I went back and I rewatched the trilogy, and I was totally on board. I was like, this is what all the fuss is about. I get it now. Like, it totally made sense. And I think I really got to, like, appreciate it as, like, a legitimate fan. Maybe I'm a little older, a little wiser, maybe. I don't know. But yeah, the whole thing, the cinematic experience, I only wish I could have, I mean, I wasn't alive at the time, but I only wish I could have seen Star Wars for the first time, like, in the theater.
Oh, my gosh, I know.
Can you imagine?
Well, I was one when the first one came out. So the first one I saw was in the theaters. It was Empire Strikes Back, and it literally blew my mind. I was in Albuquerque, New Mexico, at the San Mateo 8 Theater. We had 8 theaters. It was big. And that's still our biggest theater, probably. And no, I'm sure they've expanded to 12. But yeah, I got to see it there and literally was blown away. And I always liked the bad guys, so I pulled for Vader, and that was the one where Vader kind of looked sort of awesome at the end, and so I won.
Well, yeah, I saw it in 1977. I saw it opening day in Westwood, California, 3 times in a row, and with a bunch of my buddies, and it was one of the few things in that year of high school, it was my graduating year of high school, that I actually cared about. I was very apathetic, very angry, and I remember sitting in that theater and something shifted inside, and I had something to talk about with my friends that wasn't about how we weren't getting along with our families or, you know, all the typical teenage angst. Yeah.
The underlying dark side that we all have in ourselves.
Exactly, yes. But it allowed me to unleash it right there, yes.
Yes. Yeah. Steve was actually telling me that's where he was opening day.
Steve has told me that story, and I'm like, dude, that sounds incredible. Like, I can't imagine, like, being in that position and seeing this thing for the first time that no one had ever seen before. So I'm a little envious, but he's much older than me, so it's fine.
And big thank you to thehothits.com, which is the radio show that I do in Australia, for letting us use that footage.
Absolutely. Great interviews. And I'm so jealous you actually got to talk to these people under normal professional circumstances. Our big daddy schmo, Christian Harloff, got to interview Filoni and Kinberg for Spike TV.
Where was the fanboy factor from 1 to 10?
His fanboy factor? 13.
Yeah.
13.
Is there actual froth at the mouth?
Yeah. I just got to drunkenly bump into Dave Filoni at a party.
Did you just say, yeah?
And that interview did not go as well as your guys' interviews with that. So that was great. Fun. And that's the cast of Rebels. I'm excited. I'm excited to see what Freddie Prinze Jr. can do, because
he's such a geek. Yeah. I was supposed to have 3 minutes with him. Ended up having a near 10-minute interview with him, and I would have said 4 things.
This is a guy who loves Star Wars, loves pro wrestling, actually worked for the WWE. I think he and I could be friends.
And he voices video games. We did Mass Effect 2, and he's doing the new Dragon Age as well.
So I'm excited. He, of course, plays this former Jedi, this cowboy Jedi, Kanan.
He's like Kanan or something.
Because we kept calling him Kanan when we were practicing. I'm like, I don't think... Is Kanan Kanan? And so that's going to be a problem. But yeah. And that's what's exciting too about Rebels. It is, because it is full on canon. You know, everything you're getting is the truth. Mm-hmm. And again, I'm excited. I loved Clone Wars. Did you like Clone Wars?
I'm in the middle of watching it at the moment. And sometimes it's like, oh, this is definitely aimed for kids. But then sometimes I was just clapping along like a fool.
Yeah, there's like season 4 or 5. There's an entitle arc with like a frog rebel leader. It's like 5 episodes where you're like, maybe not. But other than that, I love what they got going on in Clone Wars, and I'm glad they get to continue it in some way with Rebels.
I love seeing the passion that the cast has, and you know, unfortunately just got a little bit sus on Taylor Gray, who's a lot younger. I think he's born in like 1996.
And he plays Ezra, right?
He's the main force sensitive soon to be Jedi in the series. And it was like, you know, as you saw it, it's like, how was your first time? And he's like, I think this is a really big deal to a lot of people, but I swear I just watched it and then I played sport. And you're like, so he's got a lot of catching up to do. And he says that, he goes, I really get how big this is and how quickly I need to become immersed in it.
He would not fit in at Garrett family Christmas parties where you're practicing Chewbacca voices.
He would sit there being like, what is wrong with you people?
What sound are you trying to make? Oh, wow. Well, that's good. Thanks for getting those interviews, and thanks for the hot hits from Life from LA, letting us use that too. It's exciting. So next up is something we call Forced On.
Yes, I love this.
It sounds aggressive because it is. The Star Wars expanded universe is so big. We say the expanded universe to mean everything in this galaxy. So what we're going to do is we're going to take one part of that expanded universe and we're going to force it on you.
Yes.
It could be us. It could be even a guest coming in to talk about something that they want to talk about. It's kind of a soapbox in a way.
It can be anything that falls under the Star Wars umbrella, whether it's the different types of lightsabers, anything that's in the comic realm, books, or like today, video games. You get a gamer on, you're going to chat video games.
You know a little bit about video games.
So I'm going to force on all of you the Knights of the Old Republic. This is an amazing game. It first came out in 2003. It's done by BioWare, and this is the first time where I think it really put BioWare on the map. They have since done some of the best RPGs I've ever played, especially in the sci-fi area, like Mass Effect. LucasArts, of course, jumping on with this one. Steam and iOS have recently kind of got it. Steam back in 2009, iOS only last year. Don't play it on the iPad, guys. Don't be silly. You have to have a controller in your hand, or at least on a computer. Mm-hmm. So basically, this is set 3,000 years before the rise of the Galactic Empire, and there is this a former Jedi that turned to the dark side called Darth Malak, and everyone's kind of freaking out about this Darth Malak because they've released this destruction against the Jedis.
So you're hearing about this guy as you're playing. Okay.
That's it. So it's kind of unraveling. You are playing this character, and as an RPG, you get to choose if you're male or female, and there's 3 different classes. I always go scoundrel. And basically, you're piecing things together. You're finding out your own history as it goes along, and you don't really know things. So that's why the RPG element's great, because you have to ask the team.
So you have to solve it.
Yeah.
It's a little memento.
Like, what's going on with you? What's going on with me? What's going on everywhere? So you've got to piece together the puzzle. But basically, this Darth Revan, that was the former apprentice of Darth Malak.
Yeah.
Anyway. Every time you hear these things, it's like, they get really, really scared with that. So as you progress along, you do get to see a lot of different planets throughout the galaxy. There's Dantooine, there's Tatooine, there's Kashyyyk. There's a bunch of those. Do you say Kashyyyk or Kashyyyk?
I say Kashyyyk.
You say Kashyyyk because there's 3 Ys. It's got to be a he.
We agree on that then?
Yes.
Cool.
Otherwise, that's going to be a long list of things that we are not on the same page with.
Yeah.
Being an RPG, there are a lot of decisions to make, whether you do go and become a Jedi or whether you're on the dark side. And there is a sort of a light to dark meter Jedi and where you sit.
Oh, of I know course, where I'd be going.
I'm ranked up right high to Jedi, and you learn different powers.
You're such a good girl.
I am. Yes, I have to be. Even playing this again, I was like, I always, like, when I first played Knights of the Old Republic, I obviously was good. And so now I'm like, I'm just going to go to the dark side.
And you can't do it.
No, I can't. I killed one random person once, and I felt so horrible. I'm like, they have a family somewhere, and I've just taken away their life like it meant nothing.
Wrote a letter back to your family.
Yeah, I'm really sorry,
I won't
guys.
Be at Christmas to make sounds of Star Wars with you. I killed an innocent.
I won't spoil the ending of this game because it was one of the best and biggest twists throughout the video games, and because you can play it again now and it's so readily available, just play it instead. It's not a long game, but you'll have a lot of fun with it, and it's got great replayability. So even if you do finish it, you will play it again doing the dark side, or you'll choose a different class and you'll figure out every different way to do it. The combat, you can use lightsabers, two-handed, or melee. I see.
And the questions I'm asking are legit because I haven't played this game. So
hit me.
In my mind, role-playing games, to me, you're asking a lot of shopkeepers questions.
Yes, that's so true.
Hey, how many credits for that bag of wheat? Like, yes. All right, so you're saying it's got some mystery, it's an intrigue, and it's actually, I can lightsaber fight?
Yes, you can. Absolutely.
Oh, okay.
You can throw that damn lightsaber if you want to.
Like, I know people that are big fans of the Old Republic, the novels and series. I'm just getting into them myself. Christian Harloff has forced me to read 3 of the Old Republic novels. It's
there
on
you
my
go.
Bedside.
That's forced on.
They're waiting. It's been forced on me. But
the list of things that you are forcing on me as well. Like, I have homework, so.
Well, it's about Star Wars. So I've always been intrigued by it. I've been a little afraid to get into it because I fear I might not get out of it. How many hours of your life have you lost to this game?
Well, I mean, if you want to just play it through once, you can get it done in about 15 hours.
15 hours?
Yeah, that's not bad.
That's not bad.
I've put 120 hours into a game before.
That's
not including World of Warcraft.
Okay, that lasts a lifetime.
I need to hug someone when I talk about that.
Support
that
groups
was a
for
bad
that.
Phase.
So, yeah. Knights of the Old Republic, it's available on Mac and PC now?
It is, and all the PlayStation networks, like pretty much everything that that's out, you can play it on. I do recommend, I'm playing it on my Mac, so I downloaded it through the iOS twice. But if you haven't played it on sort of the original Xbox, then now's the time to do it because it's an amazing game. I gave it 9.5 out of 10. It's not that good now, but back then it was like the pinnacle.
I get the technology kind of can move some things past. I mean, I still look at Pac-Man and go, how'd they get those dots to work? But yeah, so I get that. But I'm excited. One day I'm going to dive into it.
Yes.
And I'll probably be calling you for advice because I just killed...
How do I beat the Rancor?
I killed a bunch of innocents and I don't know what to do. And you'll be like, that's your problem. You should have gone to the good side.
That's it.
Do you get to choose a cape to wear?
You don't get to choose a cape. There are set sort of like equipment that you can wear.
Okay. If I get a cape.
Suits.
Well, that's good. All right. I'm excited to play Knights of the Old Republic. That's forced on. We're going to have that every week. You're going to get to learn about something specific from the Star Wars universe. But right now, Padawan, it's time to star pause you.
Excuse me.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Pick your card. Pick your card. No? Okay. You're stalling because you know what's coming. All right, so I got 4 out of 5 the first time.
We're telling. That's
okay.
Someone.
Yeah, that's right. All right, so you ready?
Yeah.
All right. Who told Luke he must not go to rescue his friends on Cloud City? Oh, come on.
Yoda.
All right.
From the Dagobah.
You got that one. What type of vehicle released the Empire's probe droids?
What type of vehicle?
Mm-hmm.
Star Destroyer?
You got that. Even though you had a question mark on the end of your answer, you got that.
I did.
What was the Falcon
from?
In the midst of when C-3PO sighed, oh, this is suicide.
Never tell me the odds. That is an asteroid field.
Oh, you are 3 out of 3. I'm getting nervous here. What did Obi-Wan refer to when he said, that's no moon?
The Death Star.
Oh, man. What type of vehicle was commandeered by 2 Ewoks and a lovable Wookiee?
This guy! Woohoo!
What is that guy?
That's a, well, you want to call it an AT-ST. I like to call it a chicken walker, but I think it's a scout walker.
You got all answers are correct, and scout walker was it. All right, to actually take the lead in our Star Paws challenge, what embarrassing mishap did one stormtrooper suffer as he walked into the Death Star hangar's control room? That's right.
On the hallway.
That's right. Padawan, you have now become the master. You got 5 out of 5. You are head in the contest. Wow. Okay.
Well, you know what? This is the first week.
It is the first week.
And some of them, you know, I think that was a fluke. I felt the force on that.
Yeah.
May the force be with you next week.
No, that's good. That's good. All right. I take it. You know, you answer those questions And you nailed
it. In before, everyone's like, well, you own it. It actually only arrived this morning.
That's true.
And I unwrapped it.
You did send me a picture. Like, look what arrived in the mail.
Yeah.
So we're going to do that each week. It's going to be you and me testing each other.
My heart's racing.
Yeah, you are. You deserve that victory. I think sometimes we are definitely going to challenge some of our guests' knowledge as well.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. No one's safe.
No one's safe when they enter the Jedi Alliance chambers. So, as you mentioned earlier, you got all those interviews of the Rebels cast at Comic-Con 2014, San Diego Comic-Con just concluded. We're all still recovering from our con flus. You went into the convention sick.
Yes, I did.
That was a good strategy.
I know.
Get it out of the way.
Well, it only got worse. The amount of used tissues that I was blowing my nose into, by the end it looked like I was on the planet Hoth. So that was pretty gross.
I know that answer. Oh, wait. So we're going to recap while we can San Diego Comic-Con this year. One of the biggest things, of course, not in it, was Star Wars news.
Absolutely. I mean, I actually felt that this Comic-Con was a big anticlimax. There was so many things that I would have loved to have heard about Star Wars or anything, like a bunch of different things as well. But in particular, Ep 7. I mean, we're hearing tidbits every single day, and it seems like they're staggering the news so kind of little bit at a time. I would have loved to have seen maybe some shots. We saw that, Force for Change, we saw an X-Wing. But
right, and that was released right before Comic-Con, or start going into it, right?
Comic-Con, yeah.
So did you go into Comic-Con thinking that Disney Abrams and Team Abrams would release anything? Were you
I thought they would. We would have a little clip. I would maybe C-3PO was like, oh, hello, attendees of Comic-Con. Just
right.
Something. I actually thought that if they were announcing like the Force for Change, it was such a big thing, that they should run the competition and then at Comic-Con announce the winner. How great would it be to meet the person that's going to be starring in... Well, not starring, but have a like at least
have
a little,
yeah,
role.
Appear in a
he's probably going
background
to be
shot.
Like some sort of like,
yeah, storms are coming, Annie. Like that would have been the contest winner. Yeah, I was one of the people that didn't think they needed to do anything, but I thought we were going to maybe at least get a title. But I was
a title would have been amazing.
Erring on the caution of nothing's going to happen, because I just don't think Disney felt they needed to do anything.
Right.
I think there's too much press coming out already. I think Abrams likes to keep things under the hat as best he can.
Yes.
He's trying to control it in this digital media, social media age.
I would have even liked just the code name. You know how they did for Return of the Jedi? It was Blue Harvest.
Blue Harvest, right.
Yeah, I would have loved just to have like some sort of, hey guys, this is what we're going to call the code name.
Right.
Just to keep you entertained and, you know, a feeling of satisfaction until we actually know.
So because there was no Episode 7 news, they pushed really, really hard for Rebels.
Yes.
That's from toys on down.
Yes, we got the announce date that it was going to be coming in October, kind of a varying announce date. There were, yes, interviews with the cast and the creators. They released about 2 or 3 clips for it as teaser trailers. And on the Thursday night, if you were lucky enough, you could go along and watch the first premiering kind of movie episode that they have, which was 45 minutes
or
so.
Did you get a chance to see that?
I actually had an invite and I didn't go.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. You ended up at a party with us, so maybe you had more fun.
I chose the dark side that night.
That's right. So far from the clips that you've seen, what do you feel about the show?
Well, it is obviously focusing around Ezra, who is this young kind of kid. I love some of the clips where it's like, who is that kid? Like that kind of speculation. He is going to be the next Anakin, but hopefully not have the ill fate that Anakin did face to turn into Darth Vader. A completely new array of characters. I think hopefully that Rebels will be in a chronological order, unlike Clone.
Yeah, that's one of the tough things about Clone Wars is none of the episodes seem to be in order.
Oh my gosh, all of a sudden we're on Kashyyyk and then it's like, oh no, something's happening over there. And then
yeah, you're so excited you're throwing things here.
Yes.
Yeah, and Leland Chee, who's in charge of the canon of Lucasfilm, had to like release a tweet with like, here's how to watch the episodes.
Yes.
And I
wrote it down.
You wrote it down?
Yes.
Oh.
And I'm like, oh,
so that's what you're trying to do.
Sense.
That's why you might be a little overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. But I'm excited about Rebels, as like I said earlier. But looking at those clips, what got me even more specifically excited at Comic-Con and seeing the stuff was seeing some of the classic things that I grew up with. Stormtroopers, TIE fighters, the Imperial officers. This Imperial officer, Callus, looks really interesting to me. The Inquisitor looks great. So I'm excited to see some of the classic Star Wars feel.
Funny that you say that they have confirmed R2-D2 and C-3PO and the role that those droids will be playing throughout Rebels. They just seem to keep popping up, don't they?
Hey, Lucas says that these are the stories told through their eyes,
yeah,
in a way. So what is their role? I didn't hear that news bite.
No, just that they will be in it. And they will have a distinct role that obviously plays a part.
And they will be in
from
the
what
role.
I know.
Okay.
Yes.
I like that.
Yeah, but you're right. It's focusing on the nostalgia. So it's like a lot of the clones, it's like, wow, this is all new and wow, it's kind of exciting. But then you want that familiarity.
Well, in watching Clone Wars, as much as I love that series, I totally geeked out when like Captain Ackbar showed up.
I know, wasn't that sweet? Because he wasn't admiral yet.
Yeah, and this young Imperial officer, Tarkin, you know, even though he appeared at the end of Sith later on, and we got to see him on the big screen again in that capacity, seen him in the cartoon, and actually those are some of my favorite episodes, him working with Anakin already, and they kind of formed this bond. So that's what I geeked out the most on. So then to see it pop up in Rebels full on, it's there for me as a fan to take in and see those TIE fighters and everything. I'm excited, geeking out.
But still having to balance the fact that it is Disney XD and it will be for the kids and that kind of like not slapstick humor that they have. Some of it's actually really quite clever.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's like the, whoa, ow, my head. And you're like, oh.
As long as there's no one going, Roger, Roger, I'll be all right.
I've heard Roger, Roger so many times in the last week.
Oh, yeah.
If I meet a Roger, I'm probably going to force push him, force choke.
So that's kind of what happened at Comic-Con. Do you think next year at Comic-Con, they have to do something next year? They're not going to keep it for their own D23 stuff.
I just don't feel that they are using these conventions to release information anymore. I think that they're going, screw the system. We are going to announce when we feel like it.
When we damn well feel like you're going to get something. Yeah, I know a lot of people wanted the original cast to maybe show up, give a wave. Look, I would have loved that. And I know there was a point in, I think, the Marvel panel when they said, let's go to London.
I know, and we were like, yes! And then it was, just the Guardians of the Galaxy press.
Even if you weren't in Hall H, there was a collective hush over everything and everybody. Like,
and then there was a,
Yeah. So, all right. So that was the Comic-Con recap in terms of Star Wars. Anything else happened Star Wars related that I'm missing here? I don't think so.
No. Not that I can think of. There's just been tidbits everywhere and obviously over-speculating, talking a little bit too much about what ifs. I want the hard facts.
You want hard facts about Star Wars episode 7.
Yes, I want to hear more from JJ. Just like a two thumbs up, everything's going great.
Do you like these videos?
They've got 2 weeks off from production after all. Like, this is the time where they can kind of catch their breath a little bit.
Do you like these videos he's releasing for the charity?
I think it's very, very clever. There is a beautiful balance of getting a very important message across and revealing bits of information.
I love it. I call it the John and Yoko factor. It is in summer 69, John and Yoko get married. They know the entire world's going to watch them. So they said, hey, let's use this for peace. Peace, bed ends, bag ends, and all the stuff they did. So Abrams is going, everyone's watching. Everyone wants tidbits. All right. I'm going to give you a new creature. Also, we got a charity. I'm going to give you a new X-Wing. Don't forget about our charity.
Yeah.
It's a good effort, and I like it.
And the charity is such a great, it's a great cause. It is UNICEF, but also just kind of giving a little bit of money to get on the movie.
Mm-hmm.
How great would that be? That is like the ultimate prize.
Did you enter?
I haven't.
You haven't?
No.
You still have time.
Did you?
No, I did not enter yet.
We have to.
Maybe we should enter together.
I won't unless you do.
What do we get?
Like, what if I'm on it?
You get like 10 bucks and you get a lightsaber? Is that how it works? No? I don't know.
You tell me. Seems like this has already happened.
We'll sign up. That is my lightsaber there from my childhood. That is Luke Skywalker's lightsaber for those listening on iTunes. I have brought my lightsaber to
set. Luke built.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, this has been our first episode of Jedi Alliance on the Schmoes No Network.
Do we have 4 minutes to go over the questions that we had originally written for each
absolutely.
Other?
Well, okay. Mine's elsewhere.
Oh,
so
you didn't do it? You can't remember them?
Well, I can't remember, but they were probably harder than you wanted to know.
Oh, really?
Yeah, probably. So we're going to close each episode with a tribute to the fallen. And this week we're going to pay tribute to Biker Scout 1742.
Yeah, basically we may remember this guy if you were watching that dreadful scene on the moon of Endor with a dreadful outcome. He basically met his fate by smashing into a tree. But you know what? There's more about Biker Scout.
That's right. That's right. So we're going to pay tribute to Biker Scout 1742. He was born on the inner rim planet of Canyon, and he was accepted in the Imperial Academy at the ripe old age of 17 standard years. While there, he excelled at running through tight corridors and yelling, hey, at alien races. He graduated in the top 10% of his class and was assigned to a regiment under the service of General Veers, where he initially served as a snowtrooper, serving in a snowtrooper capacity. He was part of the invasion of the secret rebel base, and he impressed his superiors with his ability to set up an E-Web heavy repeating blaster without getting shot by rebels. When the Empire set up military operations on the forest moon of Endor, he requested and received a transfer to the Imperial speeder bike unit, and he had a keen ability to smell Ewoks before they appeared in his squadron mates really liked him for that. He was on routine patrol when Rebel upstarts Luke Skywalker and Princess Leia Organa, now Solo, stole two speeder bikes and unlawfully engaged the Biker Scout team patrolling the area. Biker Scout 1742 was unceremoniously thrown from a speeder bike by Skywalker and died. Biker Scout 1742 was 21 standard years old.
We will never forget.
Good service.
Thank you so much.
For the name of the Empire. That has been the Jedi Alliance. I'm Ken Napsok, at Ken Napsok.
I'm Maud Garrett, at Maud Garrett, two R's, two T's.
That's right. Do not forget to find our Facebook page, the Jedi Alliance on the Schmoes Know Network. There you'll find our poll for the Duel of the Fates, and you'll have a chance to answer the top five questions yourself. And just start a conversation with us on Twitter at hashtag Jedi Alliance.
Thank you so much for listening to the Jedi Alliance, because many Bothans died to bring us this information.
From producers Christian Harloff, Mark Ellis, and the entire Schmoes Know Network crew, we would like to thank you for listening to the Jedi Alliance on the Schmoes Know Network. Special thanks to Kevin Undergaro and Maria Menounos, the author of Every Girl's Guide to Diet and Fitness, in stores now. To watch or listen to other Schmoes Know Network episodes, get movie news, and join the conversation, be sure to visit schmoesknow.com and find the Jedi Alliance on iTunes and subscribe, rate, and review. I'm the Pit Boss, and this has been a presentation of Schmoes Know.